I'm Dr. Sarah, a licensed chiropractor.
And I'm Val, clinical research enthusiast and international board-certified lactation consultant.
We are passionate about helping you navigate women's health and wellness topics naturally.
We bring the information and options
so you can make empowered choices.
This is the Empowered Women podcast. Just a reminder, the information contained in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease or illness or be taken as medical advice. Always check with your healthcare provider for medical advice.
Hello.
How are you, Dr. Sarah?
We're doing good. We're going to talk about something that I've been more into lately, but it sounds like you've also been more into lately.
True. You know why? Because I think the algorithms are pumping a lot of this information. Mm-hmm. I also think there's a doctor who's an expert in this too, and she's been on multiple podcasts lately. So I feel like it's kind of blowing up the feeds because it's just a theme that's going around. Okay. She has a new book coming out. So we'll talk more about that. But I've heard two podcasts recently that she was on. So I've been like super into this too, and for my own personal reasons. But
personal reasons, go for it. What are your personal reasons? And what are we talking about? We're talking about
What are we talking about today? We are going to talk about protein.
Awesome.
Protein, okay? It's not so lame, but ladies, women, we need to have this conversation. And Dr. Sarah and I want to have this conversation because her and I have our own dietary restrictions that we've modified, you know, throughout our lifetime, and how we meet our protein needs and some good sources, but it's kind of critical. It's kind of a critical nutrient, and it gets a lot of controversy because you've got people on one extreme saying, nobody died of a protein deficiency. Like, everyone gets enough protein. That's not an issue. And then you have experts on the other extreme, like Dr. Gabrielle Lyons, like who I was just speaking about, and she's a new book coming out, who are like, the RDA for protein, just like everything else, is so ridiculously below what's even needed just to function, let alone build muscle, go into old age with preserving your muscle, which is huge because it just starts to drop so dramatically after like mid age. And really for well-being. And I mean, for the women listening, some of you are in preconception mode. Some of you are pregnant, breastfeeding or postpartum. And I can't stress how important this nutrient like really is.
And I'm sure like people listening to this, if they have the same algorithm as we do at this point, protein loading and how to get your protein in a day is probably popping up all the time. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I find like super annoying about this is like everybody floats to one thing. And like, I don't know if this is for you, for like the recipes that pop up for you, but that one thing right now is like cottage cheese.
Oh my God. Yes.
The cottage cheese. Get your protein with cottage cheese. Make cottage cheese ice cream.
There's cottage cheese cookie dough I made recently. So I'll be honest. I only can do certain types of dairy, which is really
I can't do cottage cheese, people.
I know, which is like fermented, really good quality cheese. Like I'm pretty particular. So I've tried the cottage cheese thing, and of course my body's like it's that, but it's also extremely salty. I'll be flat out honest with you. It is salty. I'm somebody that's very sensitive to that. So like I can pick up on salt in something, but like you get that like after salt effect too, I feel like, when you make those things. Now they do have like unsalted versions, which I've heard would be a good choice for like babies and toddlers if you're making those recipes. And it's fun and it's awesome. And sure, it increases your protein like intake, but you know, some of us don't enjoy too much dairy or any dairy at all in your case. Like
Could you imagine getting all your extra protein in the form of cheese? No. No. Not that these people are doing that. It's just like,
yeah,
I see it all the time. It's like, make your bread out of cottage cheese. I've seen.
They have, like, it's so crazy. And look, it's why? So fun. And it looks beautiful. And then I like put it in my bread loaf and freeze it, and it doesn't look like that.
You make it?
I've made the cottage cheese ice cream, and I made cottage cheese cookie dough, and like I've tried like twice with both of them, and like it's cool, but like I told you, I don't, my body doesn't like it, so it's just not, I'm not a fan, like and I don't like the salt, and I just like I'm like, I'm not gonna do this anymore. Because why? Because why am I doing it to myself?
Cottage cheese is the new cauliflower trend. Not it that. Is.
Oh, God. Yes. Cauliflower. Although, I will tell you.
I do love cauliflower.
Frozen cauliflower I've been throwing in smoothies for, like, fiber and stuff. Yeah. It's also, again, something I saw in Reels or, like, on Instagram. And I like it because I like frozen things in my smoothies to give it, like, that bulk and the creaminess. So, if it's not, like, frozen fruit or banana, I try for like green peas are delicious, or the cauliflower, like riced cauliflower frozen. Okay. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the cottage cheese has become the new cauliflower trend.
So if you're like me and you're like, great, awesome, thank you so much for this protein tip, but I will poop my pants for days, then, like, how else are you supposed to get your protein?
Wait, I want to talk about this because there's this whole, like, movement to eat real food, right? Ancestral foods are primal foods. And I'm, like, all about this, too. Like, I think it's awesome. Real whole ingredients, like, one thing, you know, great. Well, raw milk is like also like has been like a huge movement in the past couple of years, which I think is amazing. Actually, if you are going to consume dairy, we can talk about this later if you want. But if Dr. Sarah and I are probably on the same page, like if you're going to consume any type of dairy, it needs to be raw, unpasteurized, A2 grass-fed dairy where you get that and that fat settles on top and it's like, it's nutrient dense. I don't go buy in your gallon of milk from the grocery store because you might as well just dump that down the drain, friends. Right. It's garbage. It has absolutely no nutritional value.
Right.
They treated it so much and pasteurized it that, I'm sorry, it's just not.
It's not milk.
And if you have lactose intolerant, not allergies, because that's different, okay? An allergy to dairy is different than lactose intolerant. If you do have issues with lactose, I can attest to this, raw dairy, if it's quality, usually doesn't upset your stomach.
Right. I can have like raw chocolate milk and it's fine.
However, there's a school of thought that there's something wrong with your gut if you can't consume and digest X, Y, or Z food, right? Like meat, dairy, whatever. I think there is some truth to a lot of that. There is research that suggests, you know, there are gut issues when you can't. There's also a lot of things and research and ideas and scientists who have other schools of thought. And I'm going to be honest here. I don't think everything is for everyone. We all have a different physiology. We all have different biochemistry. So while I respect those ideas, and yes, I do agree there needs to be some gut healing, do I think we need to be guzzling raw milk by the gallon and eating like all these things that maybe don't sit with your body or make you feel the best all the time? No, I don't.
It's like historically, we're not going to have access to just a gallon of milk and just like down it every day.
It was actually, there's a great podcast on this and I'm going to link it in here. Traditionally, like, milk has been drunk. I don't know.
Drank
milk for centuries around the world. However, we weren't able to store it like we did. So it was like some form or version of fermented, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So Yeah, like there's a great podcast that goes into the history of milk because people say we didn't consume it, but actually cultures around the world have been consuming dairy and milk for, you know, thousands of years in different forms. And that was the way that they did it because you can't preserve it unless you're consuming it, obviously, right away. Our lactase enzyme just decreases naturally when we stop breastfeeding. So
that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah. As a species, do I think we need to be drinking tons and tons of milk? No. Does raw dairy have health benefits? Yeah. But like, again, everything in the amount that I feel like you can tolerate it. That doesn't mean I should be chugging a glass in the morning, having like a raw milk latte, then throwing it in a smoothie. I mean, like for me as an AB blood type, I'll be honest, I'm big on the blood type science and there's a whole book on blood type diets. And if you have a certain blood type, I guarantee you, if you open that book and you look at the foods that tend to bother your blood type, and the ones that you can consume really well, you're going to be like, whoa, okay. That makes a lot of sense because we all developed in different parts of the world where we're consuming different things ancestrally. So I forget how we were talking about sources of protein before this, or we were going to.
I kind of do want to like talk about another school of thought on dairy was like, people have always talked about like, there's a reason why we do stop nursing eventually. Mm-hmm. Like there are no other animals that just like start drinking milk again.
Right. There's no other species that consumes milk like that.
Right.
Beyond nursing from their parent. Like, so it's like interesting. You know, it's interesting from a biological perspective, but also just, you know, from an evolutionary perspective too, when you look at.
And there are other ways to get like those micronutrients too, because I mean, whenever we were younger, the big push on like got milk and drinking milk and all the milk ads was specifically for like vitamin D is what they would say.
And a lot of it is
calcium. Sorry, not vitamin D.
There's
calcium.
Phosphorus, magnesium, A, the D, like there's a lot that goes into it. I think the problem is a lot of times, and I mean, I'll say this as a pescatarian, vegetarian, former vegan of 2 years, years ago, the animal sources, unfortunately, I'm just going to be blunt and I don't mean to offend anybody that doesn't eat them, are just more easily absorbed and digested and processed. It's very difficult to get, you can get those other nutrients and you can get them, you know, in an abundance of different foods and plants, but it's just easier to get it and assimilate it from certain sources. So, right. I mean, there's an argument to be made too about eating like, you know, more specific animal products when you are actually an animal instead of plants. So,
right.
You know, and like I said, I don't mean to like upset or offend anybody out there that's vegan or vegetarian. I've done so much reading into the science on both sides over 20 some years. Like I started this journey when I was like 17. So I get it. I just think sometimes you shouldn't force yourself physically maybe to consume things that don't seem to agree with you. And yes, if you've done like some gut healing stuff, if you've worked with somebody and you're able to maybe consume more, you know, of those things than you formerly did, or you have tools to do that, great. But that doesn't always mean it's going to make you feel the best.
And let's say you do go through all those steps and processes and it still bothers you. Like how else does one replace cottage cheese in a protein crazy world right now? So what are your go-tos for like increasing protein that people might not necessarily think about?
Okay, so let's so my favorite protein sources, just because like I said, I was a former vegan, so I had a stint with that for 2 years in college. I did end up going back to eggs and like really good cheese and fish. So my favorite sources are eggs and fish, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm technically pescatarian. I also love, there are a lot of plant products that are great or some other sources. Nuts are good. Nuts are a good source if people need protein. They're not like the highest. Again, some of this is not super high on the scale. When you're looking right. at numbers, as far as amount of protein per serving, nuts are great. I would say some of the greatest ones, if you're looking for like more solid options, are things like lentils.
Exactly what I have pulled up here.
Lentils and beans. Lentils. They're higher. They are a lot higher. Now you got it. The thing with lentils and beans is beans are higher in carbohydrate too. Mm-hmm. So, some people are looking for like a certain body composition or to lose weight, or they're tracking macros. And, some of the plant-based sources can be challenging in that way because you're not going to get the macro ratio that you would get from an animal source. So that's something to be cognizant of too. Plenty of vegan bodybuilders, not that you can't, but it takes a lot of work and a little bit more effort and thought.
Consciousness.
Yeah. Those are great. Tofu is amazing. People put tofu in smoothies and it creates this like a silken tofu, and it creates like such an incredible creaminess.
I made tofu ricotta the other day.
So good. Yeah. I do love actually a lot of tofu things. Tempeh is another good one. Seitan, S-E-I-T-A-N. I go more for the tempeh. Just because I like to kind of fry that up a little bit or like put some barbecue sauce on it. What else? There are like good nut butters. People argue, not always like the best choice. Like it depends on how much fat you really want to get. Sometimes nuts, there's certain nuts that really bothers people's GI tract too.
Right. Especially if they have like diverticulitis.
Yeah. That's something to be cognizant of. What else? Like some plant sources that are really good are things like spinach, broccoli, potatoes, higher in the protein than most veggies. But again, we're not looking at something like a filet. So like, as far as like bang for your buck, those animal products really bring it home. So when you're trying to hit 150 or 160 grams of protein a day, depending on what you need or what your goals are, it can be tough. I do like some people, if they do dairy, they love like Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. I use a cashew based yogurt that I absolutely love. And I mean, again, it's some protein. It's not as high as it could be, but it's an option.
And those are the things that, like you said, it's harder to reach those parameters, especially because like a half a cup of garbanzo beans mm-hmm. is only 7 grams or 8 grams of protein.
Sarah, you don't really do dairy. What mm-hmm. do you do? So
lot of the things that you just talked about. So like lentils I have like an entire thing of lentils back here right now. Lentils and garbanzo beans, the yogurts. Sometimes if I really, I don't do a lot of dairy. It's an intolerance. It's not an allergy. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of like the hard cheeses if I really, really feel like I desperately need more of something.
Yeah.
But even just doing a good plant-based protein.
Yeah.
In the morning.
I'm a big fan. So I use like a lot of, I like protein powders mm-hmm. or protein powder meal replacements. I mean, I really like that stuff in a smoothie, or if I just need a snack, like, or after a workout, and I'm looking to just get like replace my protein there. I do a lot of those. There's a ton of plant-based ones that are amazing, but there's also a lot of really good quality whey and casein-based mm-hmm. ones. I'm actually using one now that is egg-based, and I really, really like it. It's very simple, very basic ingredients was created by somebody that had a lot of stomach problems.
Oh.
It's called Drink Wholesome. It's amazing. They have a vegan version. They do have a vegan, they have vegan options in different flavors, which are almond-based. So there's almonds ground in there, and they're just so good. that's another way that a lot of people do have to supplement if they're trying to hit, I feel like, certain targets, unless you're eating.
You have to, like 150 grams of protein. Unless you're
eating a lot of meat, but even then still, if you're eating meat at every meal, you're probably still having to supplement in there.
And like a big problem with that is, especially I feel like in women's health, because I feel like a lot of people end up having like gallbladder issues and stuff like that. Like red meat is not an option either. And then me, myself, I get tired of chicken.
Oh, I hear you. Let's look. I want to talk about the daily protein recommendations. So these are RDAs. And I was listening to a podcast with Dr. Gabrielle Lyons. And for those of you that don't know, you can follow her on Instagram. I pre-ordered her book because she is really passionate about talking about protein requirements, because we need that muscle preservation as we age, and the aging population is just not physically in a state that they need to be, right? And even children and middle-aged adults now. So it's really important that people meet the protein needs, and above that, actually, especially if you're exercising, if you're pregnant, planning to become pregnant, or if you're breastfeeding. So the RDA, this is the recommended daily allowance, is so low. So for adult men, it's 56 grams a day. And for adult women, it's recommended, it's 46 grams a day.
What?
And 71 grams if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. So that's just like a general rule of thumb. Like, you're supposed to calculate it based on your body weight.
0.36 grams per pound.
Yeah. So you are supposed to calculate it based off of your own body weight. But I will tell you, even that 71 as a woman, not pregnant or breastfeeding, is low in my opinion. And a lot of experts will say this. And one of the questions that somebody got recently on another podcast, who is kind of an expert in protein, was, why haven't they been updated, like the RDA? Nobody cares. It's not a priority. The government is not concerned with updating the RDA for any vitamins or minerals or protein.
Which is like, it's comical that that's what people look at on like supplements. Oh, I hit my recommended daily average. Are you kidding? Like, no, no, you're not.
Yeah. And I mean, we know that a lot of even the vitamin and mineral recommendations are so low and not really what people need. So many of us are depleted, you know, in really critical nutrients. And again, we talked about this from a conception standpoint and being pregnant and and being very depleted. It's like scary. So,
oh my God, yeah.
You know, we're building. Protein is like the building block. You know, it's the macronutrient that we need to build our, everything in our bodies. We need amino acids, and we need a lot of that when we're building another person.
Oh my God, yeah. And like, I think about the fact of just like breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. My breastfeeding journey with Eli, I feel like, I was stressed, and I don't think I was getting enough water, and I don't think I was eating great. Mm-hmm. And so if you see my child now at 10 weeks compared to what Eli was at 10 weeks, they're like huge difference. Like, Archer is a beast.
Yeah.
And he's so beefy. And I think it's because just the quality.
Yeah.
The quality of this breast milk is just like way better.
It could be. It could be.
I lug around this bad boy.
Is that your water jug?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's huge.
It's like a gazillion ounces.
I could do a kettlebell swing with this.
That's so funny. I love it.
But it matters. At the end of the day, it matters. It matters what you're putting into your body in order to like produce the outcomes that you want. And if you want more energy and you want to hit your goals, you know, with working out or just having better building blocks in your body, like you're saying, or to age gracefully, it starts with how much you're consuming now.
Yeah.
Of the right stuff.
Yeah. There's so many benefits to making sure. And, you know, there's the argument is always made like, oh, too much protein is bad for you. This is an argument that's made a lot. It's bad for your kidneys, blah, blah, blah. And I was listening to, again, another expert the other day. They've done studies where, like, upwards of over 200 grams of protein, and, like, people's kidneys were fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you have kidney disease or you have kidney issues, I mean, we're not doctors. Obviously, you need to listen to the advice of your practitioner. And yes, a lot of times a recommendation is to decrease protein intake. So, I mean, in that case, you need to listen to your physicians because mm-hmm. that's a little bit different.
But the majority of the people out there.
Right. The majority of the people out there can consume higher amounts of protein than they're actually consuming and
be fine.
It's not going to cause kidney issues. Like, that's the concern, that it would lead to it. You know, it's like, oh, not, you know.
Oh, you have to be smart about it too. You can't just eat like 160 grams of protein and not move your butt off the couch. Like,
right. And you have to get it in like, in doses. So right. You don't eat it, front load it. You know, you don't eat it all in one sitting. Your body does best with a combination of macronutrients each time you're eating.
Have you seen the coffee replacement protein?
No.
It's popping up for me. I want to try it, but I'm like, every time someone grabs me with a coffee replacement, it's so bad.
Yeah, a lot of them are not good. I know.
They're just like, oh, yeah, I get 20 grams of protein with your morning cup of coffee. I'm like, first of all, that's a lot, and I don't think it tastes like coffee. Mm-hmm. I don't think it tastes like coffee.
So I will say I've been sipping on bone broth a lot, like, the past, like, year. Yeah. I wasn't doing anything besides fish for a very long time. And then I did introduce bone broth, and I will tell you, my gut loves it. I feel like it's done mm-hmm. wonders for my digestive tract. My skin loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has protein, it has nutrients, it has a lot of really good stuff in it. It makes you feel full.
Yep.
It's just fun to sip on. It's warming. It's delicious. It's like a superfood, and there's some protein in that too. So I feel like, you know, it's kind of like that warming cup of liquid. It's not coffee, but it's a nice little, like, you know,
wake me up.
I want to have a sip of something. And
when I tell you, I made an entire 2 batches of bone broth for Mike's ulcerative colitis, and he let it sit in the fridge and go bad.
I would have been upset too.
So bad. Especially because I couldn't drink it. So I was having gallbladder attacks, so I couldn't have all, like.
You couldn't have it, yeah.
So mad.
I had to. The bone broth is great. I was just looking at.
So easy to make, too.
Yeah, I love making it. I haven't. I bought the past 2 packages, but I was going to get some bones and make it again soon. It just tastes so good.
The farm by our house actually will sell bone broth.
Do they?
Bags. Yeah.
I love that. And then you don't have to get the bones and do it. I mean, it's like fun.
No, like bags of bones.
Oh, so then you can make it. Yeah, I love, I know. There's Kimberton Whole Foods does have some bones too that you can make it. Or the best thing to do is get it from like a farmer. What else was I going to say? There's some other ideas too. I was trying to look at notes while we were talking for if you're struggling with ideas besides, you know, meat, if you're not a meat eater or you want to throw other things in, hemp seeds. Hemp is really good. I talked about peas in my smoothie, pea protein. I mean, peas have a little bit of carb too, but like they're starchy, but they do have protein. Pea protein's good.
And you know what? Like if you're having trouble with your digestive system to begin with, things like lentils and garbanzo beans and peas, like it might just be a good place to start because it's going to help start regulating you a little bit better.
Yeah. And I mean, you and I are like root cause people. I would highly recommend getting to the root of whatever is bothering you.
Yeah.
If you're having a reaction to a certain food or, you know, you can't process something or you're having allergy-like symptoms or you're really having trouble with a lot of foods, chances are there's something going on.
mm-hmm.
right? That's like deeper than that. And I don't love elimination diets. I'm going to be honest. I really mm-hmm. don't love elimination diets. I think they have a time and a place for a very short period of time working with a professional. If you need to figure something out or there's a reason you have to cut it, I think elimination diets lead to eating disorders a lot. And mm-hmm. I feel like people shouldn't be cutting too many things out. Mm-hmm. And if you have to be cutting like 10 plus foods out of your diet or like entire food groups, unless there's like, you know, a gluten allergy or some type of dairy allergy or an intolerance to certain foods, it makes it really difficult to live.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all about health and wellness and eating really good quality food, but I'm also about enjoying life. And I think when you get to that point, it becomes a miserable existence.
Yeah, because you're watching what you're doing all the time. Like, I'm a big fan of Dutch testing and actually figuring out what those foods are, but sometimes those lists can be like,
they can be long. And there's, I mean, I have friends who found out they had intolerances to a couple things, which is not a couple things. Okay. Maybe like an apples or, you know, dairy or whatever. Like, those are things you can work with.
This is the thing. Sometimes you have like one or two major and then other things just start popping up because you're just so inflamed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you, like you said, if you clean up mm-hmm. the gut and you heal the gut and you decrease the inflammatory response, those little, and what's the word? Oh my God. Intolerances mm-hmm. can go away or yeah. normally just go away.
It's true. I mean, look, I'm a testament to that. And you probably are too. You know, yeah. I started on this journey when I was like 17 with cutting certain things out of my diet because I was having severe digestive issues. And looking back now, I realized that it was probably stress and something mm-hmm. happening in my life. And I didn't realize that. I also yep. didn't realize I probably needed to clean up my diet a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a pretty healthy gut and I've healed my gut to the point where, I mean, I had a lactose intolerant. I eat cheese with no issue at all. Not a single solitary issue, not like, not a little blip, not a, you know, it's again, and I've talked about the dairy, the raw milk. I mean, I can drink a latte with raw milk. I don't, you know, I just don't for other reasons. It aggravates my sinuses and my ear. And I have like a certain reaction to straight dairy that's not fermented. Yeah. And I don't enjoy it. So I just choose to not consume like the raw stuff like that, like the ice cream and the yogurt and the, but if your gut is in a good place, like you're saying, Sarah, you can actually consume some of those things that maybe you couldn't, or at least in moderation.
Oh, and it's also being like honest with yourself. I think a lot of times, mm-hmm. we're like, oh, it must have been what I ate yesterday. And it's like, sometimes, and most of the time it takes 72 hours for you to even have a response digestively, unless you are severely irritated. But so you have to really take into consideration what happened 2 days ago.
Well, and I will say that we are so obsessed with diets and how we eat in this society.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, it's really our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's really our country. And, you know, we could talk for days about things that are allowed in our food and the way we process food that other places don't, but that's a whole nother podcast. But oh
my God,
we have to label the old people. I think women, especially, we become obsessed with labels or like a specific way of eating. But mm-hmm. I see it with men too, because they feel passionate about the way that they're eating.
Right. So
people take a stance and they're like, I'm going to be vegan, or I'm going to be vegetarian, or I'm going to be paleo or keto. And this is the only thing that works, you know, and this. When I went on this path years ago, I got so paranoid. I got so into my head about what I was calling myself, because I went vegetarian yep. and then I went vegan, and I was like, well, I'm going to go back to vegetarian. So I'm going to do cheese and eggs, but I really do well when I eat fish. That was like the only meat protein, you know, I wasn't having like a lot of issues with. And I was like, well, what am I going to call myself? Like, how am I going to label myself? You know, this was like,
which is insane.
Which is insane. I finally got to a point where I was in like my early to mid 20s. And I was like, you don't need to fucking call yourself anything. You eat healthy for what works for your body.
Right.
And your body is different than my body. And that person's blood type is different than mine. And what works for my husband does not work for me. Like, and I don't need to call it anything. If mm-hmm. I do, I typically call myself a pescatarian because I eat everything except the other types of meat and the other animal products. I mean, I raw butter, we eat it like it's going out of style in this house. Like, I mean, you know, there's, and I'm not ashamed to not have like a special label on the way that I eat anymore. Like, I'm so sick of everybody like.
That's so American.
It is so American. Let's nobody cares, not to be like mean, but like, ladies, if you're listening, just do things that work for you. Like, just, you know, we don't all have to like die on a cross with like, this is the way to eat and you can't eat another way and you're killing the planet. And I mean, there's lots of things that go into the arguments that are being made. And again, I respect that because I've done the research on both sides. I totally get it. But what it comes down to is we need to eat like we did millennia ago. We need to buy from local farmers. We need to eat high quality, nutrient dense food. Factory farming is disgusting. The way we treat animals is disgusting. I'm not even going to deny that. It all needs to burn. Like, you know, we shouldn't have any of that. We have a planet with billions and billions of people. So how are we going to, you know, support that and feed that? And regenerative agriculture is a thing, and it needs to be more of a thing, and more people need to make careers out of it, and we need to buy from those people. Right. So we're going to move forward.
And that's something that like I'm trying to teach Eli right now is like, he keeps asking for certain foods that were very like in abundance in the summertime. And I'm like, actually, like, buddy, we don't have those right now. Like,
yeah, the seasonal, that's something that's huge too. You know, like, everyone can buy strawberries when they're so modified and processed, like right now, like it tastes terrible.
Like, it's like you're just ingesting a bunch of red dye too.
Yeah, like if I like a blueberry, it tastes like garbage, you know, right now. Like squash is in season, you know, pumpkin is in season, pears, apples, you know, it's like we got to eat traditionally and seasonally, and you can eat within the parameters of your beliefs, you know, if that means no meat or dairy or whatever, you can eat with what makes you feel good. And then just try to, again, support local. We want to look for like regenerative agricultural practices. And all of this stuff is really hard, right? Because it's not at our fingertips most of the time.
Right. Well, it takes that little bit of extra effort to go out and find an area or a place that you can buy those things to.
Mm-hmm.
Convenience.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like the cost of food today, guys, at the grocery store, everyone needs to be going and finding local farmers and farmers markets and supporting those people and get the nutrients, you know, learn about how they process their food. They're so excited to talk about that stuff and teach people, you know, and that's what we want to try to get back to. And hopefully it saves, you know, it saves the planet. It saves everybody a little money. It saves them because we're supporting them and that's their livelihood.
My sister showed me her stock room because she's been canning all summer. She has a legit grocery store down there. It's amazing.
We come shop.
Yeah. The amount of zucchini, she has like powdered zucchini, pickled zucchini, steamed and frozen zucchini, like the amount of zucchini they are going to be consuming. Like she made zucchini flour.
I'm jealous.
She's amazing.
Also, anyway. We don't, again, our modern lifestyle doesn't allow for sufficient time, I feel like, to do some of that stuff. And granted, like, she's probably busy too, and she makes the time.
Yeah, she has one special needs child and then a toddler, and she's at therapies and she works.
Yeah. People make the time for what's important. And right. I know not everybody has the same 24 hours. I'm not going to make that argument. I just think that we have to, like, when looking at health in our country and empowering women and how can we do better for ourselves and our family, then these are some, you know, these are the basics we have to get back to or try to.
Right. Right. I agree.
It's hard. But it was fun. We talked, I'm like, did we hit all the protein sources? I feel like I probably missed some plant-based ones, but
we can have a list of like a lot of plant-based ones too.
Yeah. It gave people some ideas. Get your protein, guys. Don't be afraid of it.
Don't listen to the RDAs.
I had this tank top that says heavy weights and protein shakes. It's like my favorite thing ever.
Protein shakes with cauliflower in it. But not cottage cheese, because that would be disgusting.
Cottage cheese. I'm sorry if you like cottage cheese. That's cool. It's a great protein source. We're not knocking that.
We're not knocking it.
And I don't enjoy it. Like,
there's just so many recipes out there. And I'm like, give me something different. Maybe by talking about this, my algorithm will give me something different.
We have to make the push, Sarah. Cheese bread. What can we come up with?
Lentil bread.
What?
Lentil bread.
Lentil bread. I'm down. What can we do with lentils? Can we make lentil ice cream?
Lentil ice cream, garbanzo bean, meringue. I don't know. Gross.
All right. Well, this one was fun.
Yeah. All right.
Well, all right. I'll talk to you later.
Hold on 1 second.
Somehow we managed to.
We nailed it.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more like it, make sure you subscribe to the Empowered Women Pod and rate us 5 stars. Please feel free to also write a review on the podcast. It really does help to spread the Empowered Women message, and it moves us up in the podcast rankings. Plus, we love to hear from our listeners. You can follow us on Instagram at Empowered Women Pod, or if you have a question and want to reach out to Valerie, you can email us at empoweredwomenpod@icloud.com.